Your word and receive the things you have to say about marriage. Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your protection. And God, I just pray you open each heart to receive from the Spirit. I pray you to anoint me out to speak things of the Spirit. And so, Lord, just thank you for everybody here. Thank you for each person that's listening online. And we pray for their protection. We pray healing for each person and protection for each person in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. You can turn to Proverbs chapter 15 if you want to get started here. We're doing a series on the marriage and kind of the big aspects of the marriage. The title suffices, I think, marriage. But before each session, I'm reading these 4 points because it kind of identifies the whole picture of what we're dealing with here. So, point number one, the family is a window in miniature where life lessons are learned. Number two, a biblical marriage exalts the woman and demands leadership by the man. Number three, a biblical marriage will teach healthy, lifelong values to children. Number four, sin messes everything up. Now, as we look at this session, we look at this session here, I want to, ask you the question. Have you ever been, like, out with your spouse? You know, you're doing whatever, and it just seems things are going along fairly pleasant. And then out of the blue, you get crossways. Tensions arise. Like the title to the message says, lightning strikes. Have you ever done that? No shame. I mean, it's Linda and I, the only one that's ever happened to, you know. Just going along, you're so happy, and then all of a sudden, bam, you thought, what in the world? In fact, you might say, what in the world happened? What in the world happened? Now, if you're not married, you might think, well, I don't know what these people are talking about, maybe. But if you've been married for at least 2 days, you know what I'm talking about, all right? And so, anyway, I kind of want to touch on that subject. So, when I say lightning strikes, it's not lightning strikes like, ooh, this is fun. No, this is like lightning strikes and everything's falling apart immediately. You know, it's amazing how fast that can happen. So, the Bible gives us a few things to think about as we look at this subject. And here, one is in Proverbs 15, verse 23. So, the Bible warns us that we should think about what we say, you know, what, how, and when. What, how, and when we speak. Should think about it. And Proverbs 15, 23 says this, "To make an apt answer is a joy to a man. A word in season, how good it is." So when lightning strikes, you're going to think, that wasn't good. Okay, but you think, oh, word in season, how good it is. And so it is, you know, when we have, you know, anywhere, but in a marriage relationship, especially because the marriage relationship's a little, you know, more intimate than just anybody walking along, as it should be. So we should be think about situations before we speak. It is most satisfying when we're able to give a timely and fitting response. Amen? Nobody's talking. And you think what happens, again, a marriage is so intimate and it's so intermingled with everything, these things pop up real quick. You know, it's not like you have 10 minutes to think about every interaction, because life is just wham, coming at you all the time, you know. So you have to answer quickly, or so we think, or whatever. You know, so anyway, it's here. So let me go here that, again, in Proverbs 25:11, and God is reinforcing, you know, we should think about what we say. In Proverbs 25:11, it says this, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver." Isn't that something? I know Linda thinks every time I open my mouth, that's what it is, just apples of gold in settings of silver. No, I don't. Maybe not. Okay, but so we know that for wise people to say the right thing at the right time, it requires knowledge and wisdom. There's some understanding that's involved here. And wise people have an open heart and open ears. Open heart and open ears. Look at Proverbs 18:15. Proverbs 18:15. An intelligent heart acquires knowledge. The ear of the wise, seek knowledge. I want to know, you know. And by the way, this is before you open your mouth. You want to know before you open your mouth. Okay. Now, so I want to look at some things. Last week, we try to pull this into some practical things. Not that Proverbs aren't practical, but application, I say. Applications of this. So last week, we learned. And two, it's hard when you talk about this because everything we talk about and have about eight sessions, they're all in one bucket, okay? They're not separated in eight different buckets. They're in one bucket, happened in one time. But when you talk about them, you try to put them in different buckets, you know? So it's all mixed together. And so, like last week, we saw that guys tend to focus more on goals and facts, and we talked about that, while wives tend to focus more on the sensitive and more in tune with the relational aspect of the marriage. Okay, we're talking marriage. So she's, not that she doesn't have goals and facts to get there, but she's going to focus more on the sensitivity and the relational aspect of the marriage. And so we talked about that last week. And so today we will build on this knowledge and hope to gain some more insight with that, how we can communicate to each other. All right? So facts are facts, all right? But the marriage relationship goes beyond pure facts, right? Facts are facts. Not saying they're not facts. Facts are facts. But the marriage relationship goes beyond the facts. The facts. So this is, this means it's necessary to recognize sensitivities that bind our hearts together, okay? Now, these realities not only bind our hearts together, but they also connect us with the heart of God. Now, ladies, I don't know if you know it or not, but I just gave you a big trump card. You know? So not only do they bind our hearts together, they bind all our hearts to God. It gives us an understanding. Those sensitivities and those relational things give us an understanding of our relationship with God. God is a God of facts. Amen? I mean, yeah. You know. But there's a huge relational aspect with God that we have a relationship with Him. Jesus died on the cross. That's a fact. But the reason why is so we have a relationship. You see? I want a relationship with God without Christ, the fact of Christ dying on the cross. Well, there's some religions that try to, that doesn't work. Or was it just fact, He died on the cross for me, that's it, I'm done, finished. That doesn't work. It's the two together. The fact, it leads into the relationship, and the two together make the truth. Amen? So, anyway, so we're going to look at this. I'm going to look at three things here and kind of give you some little examples and hope you kind of enjoy this. So, marriage relationship is moving on two tracks here. It's moving on two tracks. You got the facts and you got the sensitivity in the relationship. So, anything in the marriage, and I use the word anything, anything you do in the marriage goes down these two tracks at one time. Say you're out back and you're helping your husband or husband and your wife is helping you fix the deck. Fact. All right? And you go, hand me that hammer. She goes, don't you talk to me like that. See? You see what I'm saying? Listen, we're building the deck, not going to a movie. Okay. You see what I'm saying? Okay. So this is kind of where I'm coming from. So, in a marriage, we have to think relationally. And here's an example. I'm just, you know, trying to pull something, give you an example. Say you have a couple, you have to move into an apartment, and you have to live there a year before you go into a new house you have. So you're going in. So this is just a transit, you know, moving this apartment. Well, in this apartment, there's this huge picture window. I mean, the whole neighbors can see everything going on in there. Just huge picture window. And the husband comes up, fact. I have an old blanket in the garage, and I can nail that up over that window. Take care of it. And then she says something like, over my dead body. Now, he was factually correct in what he said, but relationally, it communicated zero, because it didn't communicate anything about how she would feel about this piece of ugly in their apartment for a year. Amen? You see what I'm saying? So there's a word for the man here. See, when he said, we can nail this blanket over this window that I have in the garage for the past 5 years, this lightning strikes. You go, why are you so upset? I just made a suggestion. Golly, man, you're getting awful touchy. Oh, see how those words just rolled off my mouth? I think they've been repeated several times before they bounce back to me. All right. It's like, what's so touchy on this? And then, yeah, you think I'm touchy. You try hanging that rug over this window, you know, like that. You see what I'm saying? And it happens like this. I'm going to hang this blanket over the window. And the wife goes away, and she thinks about it for 2 days, and then comes back and says, I don't think so. No, it happened then, immediately. You know, like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? But now you could do it the other way. The wife could come in and say, oh, man, that big window. We got these window treatments we can put up there, $1,000, and it's going to look great. And the husband is like, ooh. You know, he's saying, we need to interject some facts into this one. That may really make you feel good, but let's just kind of think about the length of time we're going to be here and how much money we want to put into it, you know. You see, it went the same way. See, and here's a verse. James says, James 1, verse 19. Know this, my brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak. The guy walks in, he looks at the window, he's got this, I got this blanket covered. He says, maybe I better not just blurt that out. Maybe I should see what she thinks. She's over here, oh man, I saw this thing. Those curtains look pretty over there. Maybe we should hear what he has to say, think about it. You know. See? But now, we all know one thing. When we say anything, when we see that window, we immediately have a thought. It's a millisecond, boom, boom, the thought. The problem is in the same millisecond to speak what you just thought. You want to think, let's take a deep breath. What do you think about this window? Let's discuss it. Hey, you see what I'm saying? But we don't. Why? Because it's immediate. And two, it is so logical to the man to take this. I mean, it is beyond logic for this man. Right? Right, guys? It's beyond. Man, just hang, you know. It's rug, you know. The mold won't get off too bad. You know? But the girl, lady, she's like, you know, we kind of should watch. We're just going to short time. She should watch her money here. We could put it better efforts in the future. But that discussion doesn't take place. Because each one of us sees immediately what they feel, but the other person throws something into the equation and gives them understanding. Okay, so we understand. Need to be relational and factual and talking about the issues together. But has that happened to anybody? Something similar to that happened? Rich said it never happened to him. Woods is fessing up. Okay, yep. He fessed up. Okay. He fessed up. Okay. Well, okay, do you see the point here? Again, the point I'm making here, that the facts and the sensitivities roll together, and they're important. But both of them were important. They don't override each other. All right? Now, here's another one. Marriage. Your conversation. It's on two tracks. By the way, just to let you know that this is the reason there's so many issues in marriage. Is this right here. This is the reason. Okay? I mean, they tell you all sorts of stuff. But this is the reason what happens, you know. I mean, you're at work. Boss hollers at you. Oh, you come home. He hollered at you. No, you know, he's gone. That's what it is. Male, female. Boom. When you go home, you better not holler at me. You see what I'm saying? Either way. Either way. Okay, here's another one. And again, these are things to get you thinking how you process one another, and you can help us and one another. Okay? Now here's the second one here. Marriage, down two tracks. Facts plus sensitivity connect with the heart. All right. Marriage activities are not only factual activities, but relational activities. Fact, we're going to do this. No, it's relational because we're going to do it together. Unless you're going by yourself, you know, then you do when you want to. So here's a perfect. I have the greatest example in the world. I mean, I'm telling you, you're going, when I finish this, you're going to say, that is the greatest example I ever heard Wallace ever speak. Where it's not only factual activities, it's relational activities. Now, I have to fess up something because I learned the hard way, so I have to relive some painful things, okay? As you know, or may not know, after Linda and I were married 10 years, we were separated for 2.5 years. And it wasn't like, oh, that's good, happy, we're all sweet. And I mean, you know, it was a dog fight. I mean, you know, we spit and cussed and departed, and it was just kind of that way. It wasn't a happy time. Anyway, I know you can't imagine me behaving like that, but anyway. What is this? Okay, so anyway, we've been separated for 2 years. So after about a year, I kind of got my act together, or I would say I tried to get my act together, got convicted by the Lord, or whatever happened. And so what I tried to do, I tried to, you know, kind of put things in order. So I was trying. Now see, and put this in picture, I think about it, it's crazy. But so in 10 years of marriage, okay, so I go from 0 to minus 10. Okay, in 10 years. So I'm 0 at minus 10. We separate, and I'm minus 10. Then we go a year separated with me not behaving at all. Now I'm minus 20, right? So here I'm minus 20. Minus 10 went to minus 20. So a year later, I thought, I think we'll try to put this together. So I step in at minus 20. Y'all see where I'm going? He wasn't excited about minus 20. Was not excited. You know, in fact, I told her, I said, we need to work on this. She said, I don't care. Do what you want to do. It's like, knock yourself out. I ain't doing nothing. So just to let you know, okay, it can't get there. I know you can't imagine, but it can get there quick. And so that's the word we want. So I'm going to try to put this together. And so what I would do is I would try to have conversations. She wouldn't say anything. She wouldn't talk. She wouldn't say anything. And we would have to interact because of the kids. And so I would do everything I could to, like, initiate a conversation. And she would, yes, no, fine, here. And just would not engage. Would not engage. But I kept trying. Well, one day she came in. She said, she goes, and we weren't mean to each other. We just didn't talk. You have to have some feeling to be emotional. I mean, there was nothing. You know, so it's like getting mad at that chair. You ain't nothing there. So that's where it works. About that, that's worse than emotional when there ain't nothing. Okay, you know what I mean? So one day she comes in and she says, I'm going to get our son a coat. You want to come? Wow. I mean, it's like, whoa. You know, that's a breakthrough, right? Amen? So this is the reason to build up. Because we said, if you come, want to get our son a coat, you want to come. Yeah. So we're going, I thought, well, this is good. So a little chit-chat, you know, little, you know, icicles falling off. And saying, okay. So we go into the store. We go into the store and we walk into the store. And there's a shoe section right to the left. And so she walks into the shoe section. You know, and so she's looking at all these shoes. Okay. Then we walk over and into the store, and she walks into the shirt section. And she's looking at all these different shirts. All right. Then she leaves the shirt section, and she walks into the pants section. And we're looking at the pants. Now, about this time, I'm thinking, I misunderstood her. I misunderstood her. I thought we were supposed to get our son a coat, But evidently, I didn't hear her correctly. So I asked her, and I said, did we come here to get our son a coat? She said, yes. Before I had time to make a reasonable reply, I go, what are we doing in the pants? She said, nothing. We're going home. Lightning struck. That was a quiet ride home. Quiet ride home. And I thought, oh my goodness. Now, here what happened, when I look back on that, what am I trying to do? And what was my purpose from the game to do? To initiate conversation, right? So she gives me a perfect opportunity to initiate conversation, didn't she? But what did I do? What was the goal? What was the goal? Get the pants. It overrode everything. Get the coat. That was the goal. Get the coat. That overrode everything. Get the coat. And then talk. You know, it just overrode. She gave me an opportunity, but I was so clicked into the goal, I couldn't see the opportunity. Guys, you ever been there? You probably been there, don't even know it. Because you're saying, wait a minute, didn't she say get the coat? I know some of you guys are thinking that. She said get the coat. But it's no. It was like, no, I had the perfect opportunity. Like, well, those are nice shoes. What do you think about it? Oh, that's a nice shirt. Oh, well, those are nice pants. Like, I had all sorts of time. I said, no, we're here for our coats. What are we doing in the pants? You see what I'm saying? I told you it's a good example. It's a great example. Man, because the real goal for me should have been to have conversation, not to get the stupid coat. Now, anyway, here is like, just to show you, I did learn. A little bit. Just a little bit. And several months later, notice I didn't say the next day. Several months later, you know, she did the same thing. She asked me, so I'm going out shopping for the kids. You want to come? Okay. You know, it wasn't like, oh boy, it's like, okay, you know, you're thinking, you know, there's people sitting in the yard, you know, there's going to be a hit job. You're just like, okay. So I go in. Anyway, so I go out, and so we're walking around, and we're in the shoes, and we're in the shirts, and she goes in the shoes, and she picked up a pair of shoes, and she looked at them, and she said, these are really pretty. Do you think these are pretty? I thought, oh my God, I have to respond to this. You know, I said, one wrong word, we're home. We're home. All I got to do, one wrong home. It's like these gymnastics, you know, they do a great flip and they put in their little heel, falls off. Oh, minus one for you. I know it. My heel slip off this edge. We're home. And so I just like, slightly panicked. And here's what I thought. Are these shoes pretty? This is what I thought. You know, I know she has a pair just like those at home. That was my thought. It really was my thought. And I'm thinking, that won't work. That answer won't work. You see? And all this is happening at once. Now, you can see the first shopping trip really got my attention. So the second shopping trip, I'm like in panic mode. And so I did the most brilliant thing. I go, yes, they're pretty. Answer the question. Period. Don't say anything else. Then the most remarkable thing happened I ever saw in my life. To this day, it's the most remarkable thing I've ever seen. She goes, yes, they are pretty. But I have a pair just like them at home. And she put them back and walked off. I'm thinking, I knew that. I did. I knew that. And then she walks over to the dresses. And she pulls out a dress. She's not as minute. She holds it up. She put her little foot out like this. Do you think this is pretty? And I'm thinking, I can do this. I can do this. I really can. I go, yes, it's pretty. She hung that sucker up and she walked off. And it's like, I got this. I got this. You know. Now, what I'm saying, the point of it is you see, you know, what I learned, you just answer the question. Just answer the question. She didn't ask if she had a pair of shoes like this at home. That wasn't the question. The question, are these pretty? Just answer the question. And so it's like, I figured this out. I figured it out. But it's the relationship part, you know, if it's get the coat, if that's the goal, then the relationship part doesn't have anything to do with it. But if the goal is the relationship part, then it doesn't make any difference what you look at. Now, to this day, I promise, and ladies are different, people are different, but we go shopping. I never go with Linda and go shopping to buy anything. Never. I go with her to relate. That's the goal, is to relate, you know? And then we're interacting, and then she'll say, I think I'll buy this. And I'll just, oh, whoa, what is that? That was a break in the routine, you know? Because my goal is to relate, see? So I focus on that, so I don't care what she looks at. Because the point is to relate with her while we're looking. I mean, some of you think, I couldn't tell this story. I know it's hard for some of you guys and different people. Have you ever been looking around in a fabric store? Have any of you guys been in a fabric store? You ladies go to a fabric store. Oh, my God. I mean, that will try every spiritual bone you have. And you go in, and you're like, fabric. And so I'm doing the best I can. I am doing the best I can to go in this fabric store. Isn't this pretty? And it's like it's one blur. The whole store is just one blur. And it's like, and so walking around, and I think she had pity on me. She said, if you want to go over there and sit down, it's okay. I said, well, I hate to leave you, but okay. I'll go over here and sit down. And so I sit in this chair, and I'm thinking, oh. And this other guy came back. This other guy came up, and he just sat in the chair beside me. And he looked over at me and he goes, this is hell, isn't it? So the whole thing is, granted, these were tough situations, but they did teach me a lesson. It really taught me a lesson, a big lesson, that it's not the goal. You can't have the goal without the relationship. The relationship. And put, if you're so goal focused, when you have the opportunity for the conversation relationship, you're blind, you can't see it. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm going to go, isn't that a good example? Amen. Oh my God. I learned a lot. Now, it's a bad situation when I learned it, but I learned it. So you have the opportunity to learn it up front. You know, learn it up front. Now, here's another one. Here's another. Oh, by the way, we'll flip this on the guys too. You know, I left them out. But see, you're going with the guys, and guys are all over the place too. And you're walking with the guy. He's looking at a $20,000 Harley Davidson. Man, isn't that pretty? And the ladies go, "You're out of your ever loving mind." No, it's not pretty, and nothing pretty. Don't even think it. When I see you did the same thing. See, you did the same thing. You should, oh yes, hon, that is so pretty. Maybe when I die, you can buy one. But you see what I'm saying. Okay, here's another one. Marriage, okay, it's going on two tracks. Facts plus sensitivities connect with the heart. Now, again, marriage is the most intimate of relationships, and because of that, it is filled with emotion. Amen? It is filled with guys. It is filled with emotions. That's what you got. So you said I do. It is filled with emotions. Like your marriage, you know. Woman says, "I do." She's filled with emotions. You're over there. You go, "I do." Done. Got it. Okay. See what I'm saying? It's different from day one. So we know that the marriage really is just full of emotions. Now, therefore, every marriage has to grasp this important truth. Every marriage. You ready? Thus saith the Lord. Let me do this like Charlton Heston. Thus saith the Lord. You with me? Facts do not penetrate emotions. You hear me? Facts. Now, you were supposed to pick up one of these when you came in. If you don't, they're on the back table. There's an overhead to look at. All right? This is my handiwork. I did this all by myself. Okay. So, thus saith the Lord, facts do not penetrate emotions. Now, I want you to look at that. First, I have to confess. I can't find this statement in the Bible anywhere. So it's just my statement that thus saith the Lord. It's not in there, but it ought to be. I'm just telling God, if you ever do an edit, you need to put this in. Okay, you need to put this in. Now, as you look at this, now pay attention to this. This is a thus saith the Lord. The other two were just funny. This is a thus saith the Lord. Okay, facts do not penetrate emotions. Now, if you notice this, you'll see the man, the husband on one side, and you see the woman on the other side. Amen. You see that? Now, what the husband is doing, he's trying to share facts with his wife. But the facts can't penetrate the emotions. The facts he shares hits the emotions, and it ricochets into the atmosphere. The real cause of global warming, right here. This is it. This is the real cause. They don't know. Scientists don't have a clue. Nobody knows this. Now, so what we see... let me just give you an example of how this works. Okay, now the emotions are in the woman, but I couldn't figure out how to draw that. Anyway, so I just draw it. So the emotions are in the woman. So you see the facts next to the man, and you see the emotions next to the woman. Now this doesn't mean the woman doesn't have facts. That's not what I'm talking about, inclinations in the relationship. Now, here's an example, just to kind of give you the picture of what takes place. Picture what takes place. Say the wife drives up one day in front of the house. The husband's outside working in the yard. And she drives up and she gets out of the car. And she is really, really upset. Husband, what's wrong? And she said, this guy just rear-ended me at the stop sign. He rear-ended, broke the tail light. He rear-ended me. You know, it's really upset. Then the husband says, well, don't worry about it. We got insurance. He'll take care of it. Lightning strikes. Now you see she's a little more upset than she was when she got there. And what she will do, she will repeat the whole scenario again to you. But I went up there and I stopped and he wasn't paying attention. He was rude. He didn't care. He hit and just ran off. And like, hey. And she's mad. And she's like, mad at you. You're mad at you. And the husband said, well, don't be mad at me. I told you we had insurance and I'll fix the car. Lightning strikes again. And the wife says, you know, now she's really mad. She says, you care more about that car than you do me. And he goes, you're impossible. Now she is hopping hot, and she walks away. She says, by the way, after you fix the car, you can fix dinner also in the house. And he goes, nobody can talk to you. And what happened? She just drove up in the driveway. He's mowing the lawn. You know, blue sky, wonderful. She's a little up. And then, oh my, right now, that you know, that they don't have to call me. You know, they're going to have to call a marriage counselor. That, man. What happened? This relational message, factual message, you know? What was going on? how could you have handled it maybe a little bit different? Handled it a little bit different, all right? I asked the guy, remember, I says, what do you do, you know, when something like this happens? He says, you go get a beer. Man, I'm telling you. He said, no. Then you have to talk through that. Because she goes, see, that's what he does. Anyway, but what you have here is the relational aspect and the factual aspect colliding, you know, and they're not mutually exclusive, you know. And so how could you address an assumption like this, a scenario like this? Well, here's what you can do. First of all, it's important, facts. What are the first things the facts hitting? What are the first things the facts hitting in my little outline? Facts don't penetrate emotions. Facts are hitting emotions. So you deal with the emotions. That's the first thing you do. You deal with the emotions. And by the way, it's not hard. It really is not hard. Man, she's hot. You come in, man, I can see you're really upset. You just dealt with the emotions. See? I see you're upset. Recognize the emotion, speak it, and say, I see that you're upset. I see that you're angry. And what this does, it communicates that you understand what she's feeling. Remember, she's relational. She's sensitive. I see you're angry. You just made a connection. You just made a connection. You connected with her emotion. That's what she is feeling. And when you say that, she knows that you know how she feels. Amen? All you did is say, call it. And by the way, we can see, it's not about the stupid car. It's her, not the car. It's her. I see you're upset. You just made a connection. And she thinks, he knows how I feel. Now she might say, you better believe I'm angry and just let me tell you. But you still made a connection. Y'all with me? This is huge. Number one, just say it. Whatever you see, say it. Wow, you know. And if you're right, she'll repeat it back to you. Bet I am. No, I'm not, but I am. Anyway, okay, I got that. Oh, I see you are. Amen? Okay. Now here's the second thing you do. In an emotional situation. By the way, you don't say, man, you're too emotional. Boom, emotional, wham, you know, you're on the couch. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, just insight. Somebody told me this. I don't know how I figured it out. But anyway, the second thing you do, validation. Validation. Now that's hard. Guys go, I can't validate her. She's off her rocker. I can't validate that. Not that you would say, you're probably not even silly enough to say that, but you're thinking it. But no. If validation, what validation is like, if that would have happened to me, I would have been upset too. If that would have happened to me, I would have been upset too. Do you know what the guy just said to his wife? You're okay. I think you're okay. And there's a connection. You see what I'm saying? You validate. If it happened to me, I'd feel the same way. So now there's a connection. Now you see how this is going for you. I recognize it. He knows. If it happened to me, I'd be upset. He's validating. I'm okay. And you know what that leads into? A healthy conversation. It's leading to that. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to get through the emotions without saying they're not there. Because they're there. You can cut them with a knife. They're there. Now, so that's a way to show valid. Now, here's the third one. This is unbelievable for this one. The third one is be available. Be available. And so you say, is there anything I can do for you? Not the stupid car. Not the car. Is there anything I can do for you? See, you're available to what she needs, what you think she ought to need, or what you think you ought. No, you're available to what she needs, and she reads it that he's available to me. Is there anything I can do for you? And you know what will happen? Similar to like this, she'll say, not really. not really. Thanks for asking, but there's nothing you can do. So you've just dealt with emotions. And then she'll walk off and say, don't you worry about it, because we have insurance. It'll take care of it. She always knew you had insurance. Don't tell her. You think I'm an idiot? We got insurance to fix the car. I know we have insurance. In fact, she will tell you we have insurance to fix the car. You don't need to tell her. That's insulting. You see what I'm saying? She will, yeah, don't worry about it, huh? We have, she knows. Y'all with me? You know, she's not an idiot. All right? But see, you think, Wallace, that's a strong term. But no, that's what she feels like you're treating her like that. Amen? And but when you, okay, and you see these emotions are God given. She says, no, I don't think so. No, yes, they are. Read through the Bible. Something you find out about God. God is very emotional. Very emotional. And he made us like him. We're emotional. Emotions are good. You know what? I walk up to Lynn. Emotions are good. You walk to your wife and you say, Linda, I love you. Enjoy it. No, it's good to have. Oh, my eyes light up when I see you. We can go to dinner tonight. I can't wait to thank you. You know, she's more likely to respond to the second one than the first one. You see what I'm saying? The emotions are good. You know, you tell your kids, you have been a bad boy, and go into your room and sit down. Whatever, he said like that. I'm going to spank you all the way up the hall and into your room, and you're not going to eat for a month. You know, well, that's an overreaction. But he goes, oh, geez, I better not do that again. Emotions are bad. God put them in there, and you see God with emotion all the time. So, now, if we don't learn how to handle them correctly, we handle them incorrectly. If you didn't hear me the first time, I'll be louder the second time. You see, that's just incorrect. I mean, both are incorrect, but you can see the frustration. You can see the frustration comes out. So here's the whole thing. We, again, with this car deal, and you're dealing with the damage to the car, it's not the car. It's not the car. It is not the car. It's the woman in the car. It's your wife in the car. And you deal with that. You know you have insurance. You know you can fix it. It's a done deal. Why tell everybody you're dealing with, make sure she's okay. Recognize the emotion. Validation. And be available. Now the conversation is on evil keel, and she'll say, we got insurance you can fix. In fact, the repair shop's open in the morning. I'd suggest you take it then. You see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? It makes sense? Now this can happen. Now this can happen on any kind of emotions. Say a pleasant, a happy emotion. Say your wife receives a vase from her great-grandmother, all right? And she receives this vase, and she opens it up. And it's the most god-awful, ugly thing you've ever seen in your life. And you say, oh, hon, look what my great-grandmother sent me. Isn't that wonderful? He goes, that's ugly. She goes, don't you talk about my grandmother like that. I just said the face was, do you know how much this meant to her? Do you know? And you just say, and it's like, geez, lightning strikes. Well, what do you do? Based on the things we said, what do you do first? Number one, deal with the emotion. Oh, look at this face my grandmother, great-grandmother sent me. Well, honey, that was so sweet of your grandmother to send you that. That must just really make you feel great that she thought about you and she had that so long and she sent it to you, made you feel so special. Yes, it is. You sweet darling, you. And she said, and then she'll say, my God, this thing's ugly. So what we'll do is we'll just put it in the basement, you know, and when she comes to visit, we'll bring it out and set it out, okay? And then she leaves, we'll take it back in the basement. You see what I'm saying? It's just being a little smarter. Just being a little. And I don't want to leave you guys totally off the radar here. It's like, guys can get emotional too, you know, and they can get, sometimes their threshold's a little higher, but they can get mad, they can get furious at things, you know. But it's the same thing, it's the same thing. And if you ever watch these old movies, you see these two guys, old Western, and these two guys are fighting, you know, and they're just, and they got, and he run up, some guy runs up and says, now you guys need to talk this over. Both of those guys will hit you. Why? Because facts don't penetrate emotions. They're mad at each other, they're fighting. See, that's the reason. Well, let's reason together. Oh, let's just, ain't happening. See, and so that's not what you would do. You have to do something. You know, usually you separate them. You get five guys haul this one off, five guys haul this one off till they cool off. See, so it's the same principle there. So you can apply it either ways. It's just more fun to apply it with you ladies, and I like to pick on the guys. Like that. All right. Okay, now we wrap it up here. And so, marriage lesson 101, facts do not penetrate emotions. Like I gave you this, and you can put this, I mean, it's my little artwork. You can put it on your refrigerator. You could get a gold-plated frame hanging up in the bedroom or whatever. Anyway, so it's yours to have. Now, so we know that this is a truth, and we it helps us, all three of these things helps us drive home one point in the communication. That, and by the way, family is intimate, and therefore it's going to have a lot of emotion. Oh, bring children into it. Bring children into it. Don't, you know, talk to me like that. I mean, it's emotion. So you're teaching how to, you can't tell them don't have emotions. You teach them how to handle emotions. Amen? You see what it is. There's a big, big difference. And so here we'll leave it. We'll close it off with this. Is as you think about, is in a family, there's a lot of emotions, and emotions are a good thing, and emotions are the reflection of God, and the emotions are a way, helps us interact with God. Interact. Hey, any of you just cried out with God in anguish? He's not sad about that. In fact, he says, cry out to me. You know what I mean? So it learns how to be human, but then you take care of it, and it works in your heart how to communicate to others and how to communicate to God. Amen. So I'll close it with this. Proverbs 18:13. Hear completely by hearing the emotions. Proverbs 18:13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Amen. If you didn't hear the emotions, you didn't hear completely. You didn't hear it complete. And it's your folly and shame. And so we'll close it with this. And this is the issue. Sin messes up everything. But proper teaching and the baptism of the Holy Spirit will lead God's people to behave like Christ, which will exalt the woman and demand leadership by the man, which will model godliness to your children. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. And we thank you that as we have the Word and we look at it and we look at individual, how we're made, that you really do reveal yourself and you reveal how we should talk to each other and how we should behave and how you work through one another. And so we thank you for that. And we thank you that we have this, that we have this power because we trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He paid the penalty for our sins and we are forgiven. And He empowers us to live as He desires us to live. We thank you, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.